97.9 The Hill, WCHL, and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus, dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, UNC Journalism Professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the popularity of mixed martial arts, typically referred to as MMA. Our guest today, Mark Nagel, professor of sport and entertainment management at the University of South Carolina, calling from California today. Mark, UFC, which is one of the major organizations that put on the MMA fights, just sold for $4 billion. What does that say about the popularity and the viability of mixed martial arts?
Well, I think it says that a few investors feel that the short and the long-term prospects for the UFC are very strong. I think that MMA has gone through an amazing transformation the last 15 years. When it kind of started, it was kind of this loose organization. People weren't quite sure exactly what was going on. A lot of the rules in regards to the fights were very loose, and I think one of the things that UFC did very successfully is establish a set of rules and really put forth a business plan and a business model that would enable the organization to be successful. So I think a couple people are really betting in the short and the long term on this type of activity at the UFC level, really, really growing given the billions of dollars that are being invested.
Yeah, let's talk about the money for just a little bit. It's the Fertitta brothers who bought it. Bought UFC, Ultimate Fighting Championship, back in 2000. That's only 17 years ago, for $2 million, and just sold it for almost $4 billion. That's a pretty good return on investment right there.
Yeah, I think if you were to ask just about anybody, they would say that's a good way of transforming your money. And I don't know that they certainly had some risk along the way, but if you can take $2 million and turn it into multiple billions, you've done something right.
Yeah, so they sold it for, I think it was 7 times gross revenue, which again is a pretty good indication that the buyers think this is going to pay off, and not too far into the future will it pay off.
Yeah, and I think the revenues have been there. I think the issue is always going to be, will revenues continue to grow, and then what's going to happen with expenses as your revenues grow? So certainly a big bet that they've placed on UFC and certainly on the ability of management to operate UFC effectively, and then also with the many, many fighters who are involved, that they will continue to grow in popularity and be able to drive a lot of their events, both the ones that are on pay-per-view and the ones that aren't. So it'll be an interesting thing to watch and see how it develops.
Sure. So for our listeners who might not be as familiar with MMA, it's essentially a mix between wrestling and judo and jiu-jitsu and boxing, and it's pretty much everything goes. There are a few rules, but it's pretty much just two guys wailing on each other, or two women wailing on each other.
Right, and I think that's been one of the interesting things is that many of the UFC cards, and certainly you also have with Invicta Fighting Championships, which is a whole another different mixed martial arts league that's all females only. I think there is kind of the perception by outsiders that anything goes, and I think if you go way back to the origins in the early, in the late 90s, early 2000s, when UFC was really kind of being formed, there weren't a lot of rules. I think in some cases the fights were, you know, there are no rules other than you can't eye gouge. And that didn't develop a great following at the beginning part. I think what really started to help is when there were a few other rules. Now the casual fan may not notice that there's more rules than just that. It seems like it's anything goes, but putting a structure to it and putting certain rules in place and really making sure that the fighters knew the rules and the rules were enforced and that you would have a situation where the fight would be fair and that actually would be played within a certain set of rules that everybody could understand, I think really helped the sport. So it looks like it's kind of anything goes. And from the perspective of you can kick people, you can wrestle with people, you can hit people, Certainly it is, but there are some things that you can't do. The fights aren't just a, you know, bar fight where anything goes and people can do just about anything that they want. So I think that's actually helped the sport, because people can now say, okay, there's some legitimacy here. They're checking weight classes, they're checking health. You know, the organizations that are running the MMA fights do have some structure to them.
Let's compare it just for a little bit to boxing. You can, in the MMA, win by knockout or TKO, just like in boxing, but there are plenty of other ways that you can win. Of course, on points, that's like boxing as well, but by submission, lots of different ways that you choke somebody out, lots of different ways you can win in MMA.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that, you know, besides just that it's not just you knock somebody out or you don't just fight until someone, you know, can't fight anymore. You know, there are the different rules and the different judging structures and so forth. I think the other thing that in UFC in particular has tried to do, and the other MMA organizations insist upon, is that there continually be action within the fights. And so in some cases, you'll even see if the fighters, oftentimes in boxing, what ends up happening is fans get upset because you go through a 3-minute round and, well, they really haven't done a whole lot. They've just kind of been cagey and watching each other and not really throwing a lot of blows. And in a lot of the MMA organizations, that you actually have to, if you're not fighting, if neither fighter is, you know, trying to engage, the referee will step in and demand that there be action. So I think fans really have enjoyed that, because you're pretty much guaranteed that there's always going to be, you know, two people that are going to be actively engaged in the ring, grappling or fighting or kicking or punching each other, which sometimes in boxing you don't necessarily get, and a lot of fights become very, very boring. Whereas in MMA, the action is almost mandated that it has to occur in every fight.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with Mark Nagel about MMA, mixed martial arts. Mark, in boxing, you have a ring. In MMA, you have an octagon. Why an octagon?
Well, I think the octagon is the UFC one. There's different MMA organizations that use different size rings and so forth. I think a lot of that goes back with UFC, is just they wanted something to be different, and they wanted something that they could build their brand around. I don't know that the octagon necessarily is a requirement for anything other than that helps create a different environment than just a square or just a ring.
So just a branding sort of thing?
I think that's most of it. You know, I think there's certainly probably some origins in the different MMA organizations use different size rings and different shapes of rings, but the octagon has kind of become what it's known for, because that's what the UFC has built into their, you know, enter the octagon, the battle in the octagon, and so forth.
Yeah, it's referred to as fighting in the octagon. Not even sometimes MMA is just fighting in the octagon. That gets us back to the sort of cult movie Napoleon Dynamite, when the brother actually was training to be a cage fighter, and that's the first time I remember hearing anything about cage fighting.
Well, and I think if you go back to that early 2000s, I think it was such a fringe sport. It was such a, you know, MMA was just kind of this weird thing that in many cases just occurred so far off the grid. And that was how people had the perception of it. And now we have the best MMA fighters who are involved in movie deals. And you had, when Ronda Rousey was fighting at her apex, that, you know, she was involved in modeling contracts. And so UFC in particular has done a tremendous job of building their brand, and also building the fighters and the most popular fighters brand. And to such an extent where many of them have been able to cross over a little bit into other areas of popular culture.
Yeah, I think that's one of the several things that make you realize that this organization, this fighting in the octagon thing is for real, is number one, some of the athletes are crossing over into other areas and their names are known. Number two, there's a whole lot of money involved. And number three, the results actually show up on the bottom of the screen on ESPN, on the crawl. So it's like we've arrived if we're on the ESPN crawl.
Absolutely. And you see people for ESPN, they have web pages that are devoted specifically to MMA and the various leagues, just like they do for the NFL and NBA and Major League Baseball and so forth. So it's seen by many fans, and it's seen by many media outlets as a legitimate sport that needs to be followed, and that transactions that occur, whether they be, you know, announcements about events or sponsorship deals or whatever else, are reported on just like any other major professional sporting event.
Some people tend to lump it into a big category alongside worldwide wrestling, WWE. And I think the big difference that people see is WWE is kind of scripted. There's no way you can script what happens in the octagon.
Well, and I think that is an interesting comment about WWE, or was WWF, and now it's, you know, changed. I think everybody now knows 20, 30 years ago, Worldwide Wrestling, or the World Wrestling Federation, kind of sold the idea that it was actually competition, even though most people didn't. Well, Vince McMahon has now come out and said, well, okay, now this is, you know, it's scripted athletic entertainment, or the various terms that he and the other people involved in wrestling utilize. Certainly the UFC, Bellator, Invicta, the other MMA, major MMA organizations have come out and said, no, this is absolutely positively competition. There's nothing scripted about it other than, you know, the rules that we establish for, you know, the fights that the people are going to be involved in. It's definitely sport. It's definitely competition. And I think what the UFC has tried to do is separate it from boxing, by trying to make sure that the public sees UFC as being completely and totally above board. Whereas what's happened over the last 20, 30 years in boxing is a lot of people have turned away from the sport because there's been so many different alphabet soup organizations that are sanctioning fights. And there's been so many underhandedness in regards to who's fighting when, and are people taking a dive and so forth. So I think MMA itself, and the UFC in particular, has done a great job of trying to make sure that people say and perceive the action as being absolutely real and absolutely above board and absolutely being conducted at the highest possible level.
So doing a little bit of research for our conversation today, I wanted to find the criticisms of MMA. And, you know, you mentioned boxing, and down through the years, there have been outright calls to ban boxing. There aren't really that many criticism to that level, that this is a brutal sport, we need to end this. Very little of that.
Well, I think the reverse has actually happened. It's interesting. I believe New York was the last state that kind of held out on MMA for a number of years, up until about 2 years ago, as various states, you know, 15 years ago, the vast majority of states had banned MMA sanctioned fights. And then the success in the early 2000s, as the sport started to grow, more and more states started to say, okay, now we're going to sanction MMA, probably because there was opportunity to generate tax revenue off of it. I believe New York was one of the last states, and just a couple of years ago, New York finally relented and said, okay, now we will create a sanctioning body and we will sanction fights. And so the opposite has actually occurred in MMA, and particularly with the UFC, is states and people have perceived it as something that's growing, that's something that's here to stay, that's something that we need to be a part of. Whereas I think a lot of people have looked, as you were saying, with boxing, as it maybe not necessarily a dying sport, but a lot of its popularity has started to wane considerably.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about the MMA with Mark Nagel of the University of South Carolina. I do want to go back to the few criticisms that have come up. One person has called it cockfighting for humans. Oh, I can sort of see that a little bit. But is that a fair comparison?
Well, I think that the difference between, if you're talking about animals fighting or animals racing, is that the animal basically has no choice in the matter. I think what people will say across all of the different combatives perspective, and certainly in MMA, is that these are consenting adults who train, who we have doctors, and it's a sport that no one enters into lightly. So I think one of the things that Dana White and some of the other key people in the various UFC and other MMA organizations have basically said is, hey, if you don't like it, don't watch it. You know, we're not forcing anybody to do this. This isn't something where people don't have their free will. And so I think, like a lot of things in American culture or worldwide culture, you make a choice. And if you like it, you consume it. If you don't, you probably ignore it. And I think, like anything else in life, that's probably the best attitude to have is if you don't like it, just don't watch it. And I think there are, even though there are millions of people who do watch it, there's a lot of people that don't.
So there was one little dust up between Meryl Streep had some things to say about MMA and football. She lumped them together that, you know, if we didn't have the arts, this is all we would have. It's football and the MMA, and which is not art. And of course, Dana White fires back and says, well, you know, art is in the eye of the beholder. But it really kind of struck me that there are very few criticisms of this sport, despite, I think everyone would agree, and this is one of the draws, it is brutal.
Oh, it is absolutely. The fights can be extremely brutal, and you have particularly the fights that are filled with a lot of action that continue on through the completion of the round, I think can be, you know, two fighters that really, really expel a lot of energy and need a lot of recovery time. It's definitely a situation where you walk away from a fight. Every fighter talks about how the intensity is unbelievable and the recovery time can be extremely long if the fights are very, very action-packed. And so, yeah, I don't think that anybody involved in MMA would say it's for everybody or it's the same as, you know, it's not necessarily ever going to have a mass appeal to every single person in the country or every single person in the world. But the number of people that find it acceptable continues to grow. And I think that's what in UFC in particular is banking on with the huge investment that's been made, that more and more people will jump on board and be interested in it. In watching UFC events and all the other MMA organizations, I think are counting on the same thing.
Yeah, it's certainly a worldwide phenomenon because they go everywhere and stage big fights in, you know, pretty much every continent, and it's sold out and pay-per-view is making money hand over fist. This is a big deal.
Oh, absolutely. I think the UFC, if you looked at their event schedule the last 5 years, they're going to all different parts of the world. The other organizations, Bellator and so forth, are staging promotions all over the world. It's an interesting thing. Some people have said it reminds them of what boxing was like 40 or 50 years ago when a big chunk of the population actually paid attention to boxing. That may be where the UFC and where the other MMA organizations will go. I think in some ways the argument can be made that they're already there in some cases.
So I know this is going to require some conjecture on your part, but I was just thinking about, you know, comparing it to other sports, even pro football, baseball, basketball. Sure, there's a lot of action, but in baseball in particular, there might be long stretches of not a lot of action. And this sport requires action, and you never know when somebody's going to get knocked out or submitted or whatever. Do you think the attention span of particularly American sports fans has something to do with, you know, in within about 15 minutes, something big is going to happen?
Yeah, well, in some cases, the fights last less than a minute. If someone, you know, if they come out and something happens immediately, you could see a knockout or a submission right away. You know, it's an interesting question about American attention span. I think the younger generation is looking for things that provides continuous or nonstop action. And certainly if you're watching an MMA fight, you're pretty much guaranteed that, okay, within 15 minutes, two men or two women are going to fight each other, and you're going to see a whole lot of different things happen. Whereas in baseball, some people say, well, I can sit around for 2 hours and not see much of anything that's super exciting. So I think it could be part of the present day, how we've changed. You know, young people today consume sports so differently than people did 40, 50 years ago. And that's just part of how our culture is changing through technology and through consumer expectations and taste.
So, Mark, we have about 20 seconds left. Don't you wish, I certainly do, that you had made an investment in UFC about 17 years ago?
Oh, absolutely. If you would have just had a couple $1,000 in that $2 million initial investment, you could have retired by now. So, yeah, certainly that's a return that I would have loved to have had in my investment portfolio.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Mark Nagel. Thanks also to engineer Gary Kirk. And as always, we thank you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.